lest you have to hear the sermon. Well, a church was having a special missions offering. So the usher was passing the plate down the pews, and he came to this one man sitting on the end of the pew, and he had his arms folded with a really stern look on his face. And when he tried to hand him the offering plate, he refused. So he kind of nudged him in the arm, and again, he wouldn't take it. So the usher said, "It's for missions." To which the man sternly replied, "I don't believe in giving money for missions." To which the usher said, "Well, why don't you go ahead and take some then? After all, it is for the heathens." There is an expectation in God's word that if God really is first in your life, that you are actually going to be a generous person. People who seek the kingdom of God first are never the last to give. And they never give the last. Now you're thinking, "Oh, I thought this whole series on first was on priorities. And now you're talking about generosity." Well, let me tell you how that came about. As I was preparing for this series, I read every single verse in the Bible that uses the word first. I was looking for themes, and as you might expect, most of the time that the word first appears in the Bible, it simply is designating a part of a sequence, the first day, the first month, the first year. But when the word first in the Bible is used to designate priority or to indicate something of importance, when it's used that way, what I found is that its most frequent use in that context is in reference to giving or to wealth. For example, what is Jesus' best known statement about first priority? Most of us would probably argue that Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 would take the place of that. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But what we've got to remember is that this statement of Jesus is in the context of his teaching on worrying about finances. His thoughts on seeking first the kingdom have to be read through the lens of his thoughts on setting first who it is that you are going to serve. This whole conversation was launched by Jesus in Matthew 6. Just a few verses earlier in verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now I've got up here on the stage represented these rivals by these symbols. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of money. Jesus says you cannot serve them both. I find it interesting that Jesus did not say you cannot serve both God and Satan. No, he said you cannot serve both God and money, because Jesus understood money as our chief rival for our allegiance that is supposed to go to the kingdom of God. He did not view money as some morally neutral object, but as something that tries to claim our hearts and our allegiance. And Jesus said, "You cannot enthrone the kingdom of God until you dethrone the money god." Jesus said, it is either or, either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of money. But we come along and we say, no, Jesus. It's not either or, it's both and. I can multitask. I can take all of this. Listen to what Jesus again actually said. He did not say, you should not serve both God and money. He did not say you ought not serve both God and money. He said you cannot do it. He did not say it was undesirable. He said it was impossible. Why is it impossible? because God will not accept such service. It is morally impossible for God to say that he has a legitimate rival. God cannot lie. And so if you try to serve both God and money, if you try to live a life that says there is a rival that is actually equal to God, he refuses that service. He must be true to himself. Now, this is why Jesus is going to talk about money more than any other subject except the kingdom of God. Over 1/6 of all of Jesus' statements, over 1/3 of all of his parables are about the issue of money. He knows that you must dethrone the money god to be able to enthrone the kingdom of God. What are you going to love most in your life? Where are you going to put your heart? I want you to write this down because I believe this to be incredibly important. Where you first put your money shows where you put God. That's why Jesus talks so much about money. Not because Jesus wanted to make money. Jesus wanted to make disciples. I think it's why churches must talk about this. I think one of the reasons why there is such flabby versions of discipleship today is because we're afraid to talk about what Jesus said is the number one struggle that we have to make God first in our lives. Stanley Hauerwas is a great Christian theologian. He teaches ethics at Duke University, and he has a suggestion that I don't think any church probably has the courage to try, but I do think it would probably do some good. He says that people come all the time to church, and they place their memberships in churches, but he says before we let them, we should ask them 4 questions. Number one, question one, who is your Lord and Savior? And the only acceptable response is Jesus Christ. Number two, do you intend to be Jesus' disciple and learn from him? And the only acceptable answer is yes. Question three, do you intend to be a faithful member of this church? And the answer needs to be yes. Question four, what is your annual income? You see, if we're going to help you become a faithful follower of Jesus and a disciple of Jesus, then we're going to have to talk about the number one hurdle to making God first in our lives. If God is your first priority, then generosity is a non-negotiable. In fact, what God says throughout Scripture is this: if I am first, then I expect the first. I'm going to teach you something that about giving that I've never taught before. I've taught about giving before, but I've never taught this before. God wants you to give the first. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means 3 things. First, and this is very profound, first means first. We've already mentioned it is morally impossible for God to accept second place. God will never stand on the second podium and allow you to put the silver medal around his neck. That was one of the purposes of tithing in the Old Testament. Look with me at Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. This is what it says. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, and eat it there in his presence. This applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn males of your flocks and herds. Doing this will teach you always to fear the Lord your God. Now listen, tithing was not just about giving God 1/10. Tithing was about trusting God with the first 10th. You cannot put God first and give him the last. God claims the first for himself. Let me show you that in Scripture. When the children of Israel come out of bondage, one of the very first demands that God makes on them as a nation is in Exodus 13, verse 2. God says, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. But it wasn't just the first fruits of the womb. It was the first fruits of the soil as well. Look at Exodus 23. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Now later, it's going to say that the children are going to ask the question of their parents, why do we do this? And you will tell them, because it was at the cost of the firstborn in Egypt that you were redeemed from your bondage. Now, I want you to see how this actually begins to play out in Israel's history. Look at Numbers chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. The Lord also said to Moses, I have taken the Levites from among the Israelites, look at this phrase, in place of the first male offspring of every Israelite woman. The Levites are mine, for all the firstborn are mine. When I struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, I set apart for myself every firstborn in Israel, whether man or animal. They are to be mine. I am Yahweh. So the economy of Israel kind of worked itself out like this. God said, in order to establish a spiritual and moral foundation that you are going to need as a new nation, I'm going to take the Levites in place of the firstborn that I had claimed for myself. They're going to be the ones that are going to administer the sacrifices. They're the ones that are going to teach you the Torah. They are the ones that are going to instruct you on how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And to support them, you are to bring the first of every animal you have. You are to bring them the first of everything that you harvest. And you support them as they build this spiritual foundation that I want you to have as a nation. But this principle of giving precedes the law and the instructions in the law. I think it goes all the way back to Abel and Cain. Remember how God was pleased with Abel's offering and he did not like Cain's offering? And for years, scholars have said, well, that's because Abel brought a blood offering and Cain did not. Well, I don't agree, because the Old Testament is full of examples of God accepting grain offerings. The problem with Cain's offering is not that it did not include blood. I'll show you the problem. Look at it in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. Read this from your own Bibles. This is what it says. In the course of time, Cain brought, look what it says, some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Why did God not look with favor on Cain's offering? Because God doesn't want some. God expects first. Think about it. Later, the children of Israel are after years of wandering through the wilderness, are going to be entering into the promised land. They're going to have to conquer this land and all of its cities. And the very first city they're going to come to is the mighty city of Jericho. And do you remember what God said to them? He said, when you conquer Jericho, I want all of it. Don't you keep any of it for yourselves. I want all of the first city. Now they would conquer other cities and they could divide the spoils among themselves. But God said the first city was his. Where in the Bible does it ever say, when your sheep has lambs, you keep the first nine and bring me the tenth as a tithe? Where does it say, when the harvest comes in, fill up your barns and then bring me what's left over? And yet, when times get hard and things get tough and we have to make hard budget decisions, what do we usually cut first from our budgets? And then we'll pray a prayer. Oh God, please bless my finances. Why should God bless any part of your life where he is not first? My grandma was a Christian for a very long time. She began going to church very early on in her marriage, and she decided really early, they're going to start tithing as a couple. And she told me all of this herself. She would see as she went to this little church in Washington Courthouse, Ohio, you know, they didn't make much money at all, her and my grandpa. I mean, my grandpa was the only one that was earning the money at the time. But they would bring their tithe money to the church, and they would see some of the big, you know, givers in town just dropping in a dollar bill or a $5 bill. But that didn't deter her at all. She was determined that she was going to give what she had set out to give. They were going to tithe. Now, my grandpa was not as keen on this as my grandma was. And times were a little tough. I mean, they had a little brand new baby, and he was working as a state trooper in Ohio. And he came to her with the idea and just to say, hey, why don't we not give to the church for a while until we can build our finances up? To which she responded, listen, Buster, we're tithing and that's that. And you know what? God blessed my grandma and my grandpa. They were never late on a bill. They were never hungry. They always had gas in their car. And grandpa's little salary was stretched very much, but they were even able to save a little bit. You see, God provided for their every need. God wants your first fruits, not your leftovers. The writer in Proverbs says in Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Well, what does first mean? First means first, but also first means best. God expects quality as well as quantity. In the book of Malachi, we know that the people of Israel were having a very hard time. There was a famine. There was a drought. There was some kind of pestilence that was infesting the crops. And on top of all of those natural issues, the religious leaders of that day were very, very corrupt. And the people were saying, this is an absolute beatdown. Times are hard. And I'm supposed to bring an offering to those guys and support them? They're corrupt. So they came up with a way to get around that. And I want you to see how God responds. In Malachi 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, and you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. God is saying, how dare you call me first? And then bring me an offering that's second rate. Paul Harvey told a story about the Butterball Turkey Company. And every year at Thanksgiving, they would set up a hotline for people to call in and get instructions on how to prepare their turkeys. So a lady called in and she said, well, I've had this turkey in my freezer for 23 years. Is it still safe to eat? And the lady from Butterball said, well, if it's been below zero, it is probably safe, but by now all the flavor would be gone. I certainly wouldn't recommend it. And the lady who called said, yeah, that's what we thought. We'll just give it to our church. The quality of an offering is a reflection of the quality of the heart of the offerer. There is never an acceptable reason to give God second best. I don't care if times are hard. I don't care if you hear stories of religious leaders who are corrupt. It is never acceptable to give God a leftover instead of an offering. God expects no less than what he gives, the best. You see, I think that we should consider Jesus as God's tithe. Think about it. Why throughout the entire New Testament is Jesus described as the firstborn? It's not because there were other brothers and sisters like him. He is the unique Son of God. Then in what sense is Jesus God's firstborn? He is God's best given to redeem us from our bondage. Look what Paul writes in Colossians 1, verses 18 through 20. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It was the sacrifice of the best, the firstborn, that your redemption was purchased with, because people in love give their best. And the scriptures say that perfect love casts out fear. And that's exactly what Satan is going to try to exploit every time you give the first, because first means first, and first means best, but also first means trust. Because Satan is going to come and whisper to you, if you give the first, well, what's going to be left for you? Satan knows fear is involved in this decision. Well, let me tell you something. If you put money in first place, then fear is going to be your constant companion, because it is a puny god. It cannot come back from the dead. Moths, thieves, rust, corrupt banking systems, spendthrift congresses, stock market collapses in countries that you can't even spell, all make this god kneel. Satan knows what he's doing. Ever since the garden, he has been whispering, is God really trustworthy? Can you count on him? And Jesus responds and says, look at the lilies. Look at the birds. What do they tell you? You see, faith is not trusting blindly. Faith is looking at God's track record and deciding that it is still very, very wise to stand on his promises. I tithe. I have not always tithed, but I am absolutely convinced that I have more joy and more contentment on my 90% with God's blessings than on 100% without his blessings. One way to seek the kingdom of God first is to support your church, where you are being fed and you are being nurtured. If God was really first in all of our lives here at the fort, then we would never have, not one time, an issue of trying to meet our weekly need. Remember, God doesn't need your money. He owns everything. He wants your heart. And just hear this. If God does not want Fort Des Moines Church of Christ to continue, then it doesn't matter how much you give. He will shut us down. But I would encourage you to trust God and give the first and experience the real blessing of trusting God and living in faith with putting God first in your life, even in your finances. But some of you right now, as you look at your financial picture, you are not able to tithe. There is just no way. I get that. So maybe what you need to do is you need to decide what your first is going to be. Determine it and stretch a little bit. Give up Netflix, give up Starbucks, but make a decision. God gets this first before anything else. Remember, you give your money first to whoever or whatever you believe will bless your life. Whatever has your money has your love, because Jesus says, your heart will always follow your treasure. So what should you love? Well, I think the second most famous statement that Jesus made about first is this. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So I'm going to close with a question. What is the first commandment according to your financial picture? looking at how you steward all of the financial resources that God has given to you, what is the first commandment in your life? There are certain memories from childhood that have an impact on your life. My grandma would write out her tithe check every week. And she would do it the first part of the week, and she would leave that tithe check in the kitchen, on the kitchen counter right near the phone. And all week, every week, us grandkids and everybody that was in her house could see that tithe check just sitting right there on the counter. She's ready to take it next Sunday to church. It was just set out. See, my grandma did not just talk the talk, or that would not have been the first check that her and grandpa wrote out every week. Someday, one of my sons is going to have to open up dad's financial records and settle all of his accounts. And they will see how I ran things financially. And on that day, my prayer is that they will see the exact same sermon that you are hearing right now. You cannot serve God and money. But the great thing is, you can serve God with money. You can bring your money to the foot of the cross and worship God with it. So give God the first. Not just so that God's work will go forward, it's so that God's work in you will go forward. So today we are purposely taking the offering right now at the end of the sermon. This is our invitation today. We're going to sing. The singer's going to come forward. And while we're singing, the men are going to collect the offering. Why don't you stand up and I'm going to pray. And we'll get ready.